Hello there.
Blog Talk Radio.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Roger that. News sources that there is serious talk of Antifa having a nationwide protest slash riot. I think it was like November 4th or 3rd.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. At the rate our leaders are ignoring our Constitution, we're finding that they cannot lead, nor do they want to keep us safe from our enemies. And yes, we have some. From the crossroads of America, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show is brought to you through the traditional American Patriot Network with the doctor of this republic, showing that the truth can be told to save this nation. And now, on with the show.
Okay, we are here. It took us a while to get here. I was sitting here in my studio, and it's rather hot today. It got up into the 90s, and of course, I don't have air conditioning in here, so I've got the door open. And I was goofing around with all of my stuff here, trying to get some stuff put together for the show. And I suddenly realized it was 6:23, and the show should have started 23 minutes ago. So finally, I am here. But I am just a little bit late, so we shall start the show. I know I started it different than I normally like to, because I usually like to do kind of like a format beforehand, and I started out with the wrong one instead of the one that usually starts with Conservative Nation Media, this one.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
I've been running around looking for stuff for the show. Couldn't find much of anything except for the typical thing going on around about Trump telling the owners of the NFL that if their players aren't going to stand for the national anthem, which they should, by the way, and I will get to that one after a little bit, because essentially we're paying them to play football, not tell us their idiotic ideas on what supposedly is going on in Washington, when most of them don't even know what the hell's going on in Washington. So we're paying to see them play football, not paying to see them take a knee and disrespect everybody who has died for this freedom, for their freedoms to do the idiotic things that they're doing. But that's neither here nor there. But I keep having to shake my head and wonder, as I see the snowflakes and the idiots running around our streets with nothing but violence on their little bitty minds because things aren't going their way. Well, let me clue you in on something, you snowflakes. Life isn't fair for anyone. If you are not getting what you want, it's because you have not been taught the values of life and living a good one. Because if you were, you are not showing it to anyone. Least of all your parents, and definitely not to me or any other patriotic American who is out here having to suffer through your idiocy. So it's not just me. If you are not willing to sacrifice and work to get what you want, then you don't deserve to get it, period. And most likely you won't, because everybody will look back, when, especially when you get out of college and start looking for work. You'll try to get a job and somebody will find this idiotic thing that you're doing in the streets, covering up your faces and causing all kinds of violence because things aren't going your way, and you're not going to get hired, period. It just won't happen. I was raised that life will not give you anything for free. So stop wanting free things, because it isn't going to happen. And that is true for everyone, not just me. If you are not willing to sacrifice and work to get what you want, then you don't deserve to get it. And most likely you won't. No one seems to understand the consequences of what is coming if the actions going on today continue. New Hampshire is a good example of this one. As more and more refugees find their way to the United States, it seems many communities are overwhelmed with emerging legal issues. Some of these issues include sexual assault, as in the case of a refugee living in New Hampshire. Mohammed Rafiq was recently arrested on charges relating to sexual abuse of four young girls, the youngest being only 7 years old. Now, I have my ideas on an idiot like this, but I won't say them on the air because in case someone who is younger than my normal people is listening. But according to the police report, Nashua police said on September 7th, 2017, around 1:55 p.m., they responded to a residence to investigate a reported sexual assault. They said they learned that four underage girls were inappropriately touched by an adult man in August of 2017. Police identified Mohammed Rafiq, 27, of Nashua, as a suspect and said he was acquainted with one of the victim's family members. Rafiq was initially wanted for Class B felonious sexual assault, but police said after he was arrested, he was charged with an additional count of Class B felonious sexual assault, as well as two counts of simple assault and one count of attempted simple assault, both Class A misdemeanors. Rafiq came to the United States as a refugee from Myanmar. He has lived in the country for 2 years and was a neighbor to at least one of the girls he allegedly had sexual contact with. Well, some members of the community have downplayed these allegations. Prosecutor Don Topham stated, "We're alleging these offenses have had a great and substantial effect on both them and their parents." You think? Full details of the abuse have not been released, but new reports point to the touching occurring at some family or public community event, according to a news report about the arrest. Through the investigation, we learned that he was acquainted with one girl's family, Lieutenant Kerry Baxter said. He had attempted to offer them money and gifts and things like that to get one or more of the girls back to his house. Court records said when the girls interviewed, they gave essentially the same version of what happened. Prosecutors asked for $50,000 bail, and it should have been $1 million at least, saying that it was needed to protect the victims. Defense lawyers said Rafiq is innocent. Of course they do. I have spoken with him, and he understands the serious nature of these charges, but he is maintaining his innocence on these charges, of course. And, of course, the court knows there is a presumption of innocence at this point, defense lawyer Sarah Newhall said. As harmful as this type of assault is to the victims, it seems more and more common in refugee communities. Many have emerging concerns about the impact of trauma refugees as they flee their countries and how this may negatively affect how they interact with those around them here in the United States. And this is something I've been telling people about for years now. And nobody seems to be listening, but there are a bunch of us who know. There's a bunch of us who know, and there's a bunch of us who do not want this kind of thing here in the United States. And we've been fighting against this for years now. We started fighting against this when Obama was president, and he wouldn't do anything about it, even though everything was starting to happen even back then. But he was saying, oh, there's nothing wrong with all of these guys. They're just people who were running away from the way that things were in their country. No, what they are is they're leaving their country and bringing their sick ways here to the United States and making us suffer under them. And I say, send them all back. In this case, is this man acting out in some inappropriate contact with young girls that may not be so wrong in a refugee camp or even on foreign soil? Concerns about this emerging trend initially came to light over a call in a small town in Idaho after three boys savagely raped and abused a five-year-old neighbor girl. Many in the apartment complex spoke out about the boys being over-sexualized. Two boys raped and molested the girl as a third filmed the encounter. An eyewitness to that attack, Jolene Payne, explained the scene as she walks in on the attack. She said the door was cracked open, cracked enough for him to see the pictures he was taking. I opened the door and almost fainted when I saw what was going on, and I'm a nurse. What a pitiful thing for a poor little girl to go through. The tiny little white girl, 5 years old, was standing there with her clothes off. The two younger boys were also naked. The worst thing was they peed all over her clothes and her too, and I thought it was one of the meanest things I'd ever seen done. And we saw those kids. We know these kids must know a lot more than kids in America that age. I've never seen any of them do anything like that to little girls, and we have a lot of children around here. Sadly, it seems there may be more at play than just random sexual assaults. There is something wrong with the way the refugees are coming into quietly joined small towns across America. Our children are not prepared for the abuse they may come across. And this is something we have to start realizing here, folks. Our children are not prepared for this abuse. We're not prepared for this abuse. So how can our children be? This is something that has to stop. And if we don't stop it, folks, it's going to get worse, and our children are going to be traumatized to the point of being completely mentally ill for the rest of their lives over it. And do you want that for your kids? I know I don't want that for mine. Conservative Nation Media is back, and so is Conservative Nation, or NWCR is back, and so is Conservative Nation Media. And I'm sorry about being here late today. I just totally lost track of time. The way the weather's been here in Indiana this year, it's been, by the time it gets to this time of the day, it's cooling off and starting to feel really good, and actually even starting to get cool. And it's not. It's hotter than heck. The sun is still shining. There's not a cloud in the sky. And yet, here we are, towards the end of September. Summer is gone, but you couldn't tell it by the way that the weather is happening here. But like I started to say, I want to welcome you to the show on this, the 24th of September in the year of our Lord 2017, for this, the 334th episode of NWCR. And the intro for this show on the episode info, I had it written that ever since Obama, we have heard ISIS, or the Islamic State of Israel or Syria, called ISIL. And this is something I really want to talk about, because when you call it ISIL, you include Israel. Because ISIL, this is what Obama was trying to push, was that it was ISIL, not ISIS. ISIS is the Islamic State of Syria, in Syria. ISIL stands for Islamic State in Levant, or Levant. Levant is a part of the country over there that includes Israel. And it doesn't, folks. It doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't. Essentially, what Obama was doing was forcing Israel into a state of being terrorists, which they're not. They are one of our greatest allies over there. And we have to start realizing this, because I'm still hearing people call it ISIL, and it's not. ISIS is the Islamic State, and Israel is not part of that. They've been fighting that for quite a while now. As a matter of fact, they're probably one of the only ones other than the United States who are fighting it. Because in that region of the country, folks, in that region of the world, if Israel doesn't fight it, they're going to be taken over by it. And Israel is the only free nation over in that area right now. Sorry, I had to take a drink. And that's essentially what I wanted to say about that one before I went too far and completely forgot about what I was going to explain at the beginning of the show. And now that I've got that explained, I'll go on to another. And former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin said at a rally Thursday night for Alabama Republican Senate candidate Judge Roy Moore that the swamp is trying to hijack Donald Trump's presidency, which it is. And the Washington Post Jenna Johnson reports from the Washington Post. Texas Representative Louie Gohmert, a Republican backed by the Tea Party movement, suggested that the president was misled by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, whom the crowd repeatedly booed. Jan Morgan, a spokesman for the Citizens for Trump grassroots group, said the president was ill-advised when he made his decision. The former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin accused the swamp, which is what Trump likes to call the Washington establishment, of trying to overpower the president. And that's what they've been doing on both sides of the aisle, folks. That's what they've been doing. And they don't give a damn who's in power. They really don't. The only side of this that gives a damn about who's in power are the Democrats, and they want a Democrat in power because they've worked too hard and worked too long to get things the way they are now, to have them go back like they did when Reagan got elected. And they don't want that again. They don't want it. But the sad part about it is that the Republicans don't seem to want it either. The Republicans, a lot of them, got their positions in Washington, D.C. on the campaign that they were going to repeal Obamacare, that they were going to build a border wall, that they were going to get rid of the illegal immigrants. They're not aliens, they're illegal immigrants. And they're illegal because they came into this country against the law. They broke laws coming into this country. And why people in our government want to make them citizens is beyond me. None of us would get anything compared to the stuff that they're getting free gratis if we did the things that they did. If we had gone over to Mexico the way they came over here to the United States, we would be in jail, period. Remember that soldier that during Obama's term, I think Camarusi, he had a gun in his truck. He accidentally crossed over the border and came right back over. But while he was, when he crossed over the border and realized what he had done, he tried to get back and didn't make it because the Mexican police nabbed him. And he spent a year in prison while Obama languished in his country club and running around all over the nation talking crap about anyone who didn't agree with him. He didn't give a damn about Tamarussi, who was not, by the way, Mexican prisons are a lot different from American prisons. Anyone who is in an American prison essentially is really languishing there. They get exercise. They get to play out in the yard, play basketball. They get to be on the internet. They get to do whatever they want, but they live in a small cell. In a Mexican prison, on the other hand, you don't get any of that. And you're not allowed any of that. Tamarussi was in a jail cell, period. Until he was finally released. And he was released not because of Obama, because Obama didn't even try. But back to the story that I was reading here about Washington, the establishment of trying to overpower the president. Palin said, the forgotten men and women in this country, they stood up and we beat the swamp. But alas, 10 months later, guys, the swamp, it's trying to hijack this presidency, said Palin, who unsuccessfully ran for vice president in 2008 and was one of the leaders of the Tea Party movement that predicated the Trump movement. The swamp is trying to steal the victory that we worked so hard and long for, to steal the victory that a lot of us put our reputations on the line for. We voted to put America first, not the political elite that had ignored us for decades. Palin described Moore as being deplorable before deplorable was cool, borrowing the label that the Democrat Hillary Clinton applied to some Trump supporters this last year. A vote for Judge Moore isn't a vote against the president, Palin said. It's a vote for the people's agenda that elected the president. It's for the big, beautiful movement that we're all a part of. The president needs support. And I got a phone call here, and I'll finish this and then I'll get to them. It's a vote for the people's agenda that elected the president. It's for the big, beautiful movement that we're all a part of. The president needs support to keep the promises that elected him. So we're sending Trump someone who has our back, not Mitch McConnell's. Make no mistake, Big Luther is Mitch McConnell's guy. I do, and again, I think they laid that out themselves by suspending one of their own anchors for political comments, Sanders responded. One of the press corps explicitly asked Sanders if she or Trump was calling. Well, I think I went to another story here, but that's I've got a phone call here. Let me sit just 5112. You there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I sure can.
Hey, I'm from Austin, Texas, kind of the liberal part of Austin, the liberal part of Texas, I guess.
You don't hear about the liberal part of Texas very often.
It's because we're not very big. I used to be a big Republican back in, 2008, back when I was in school and I was, I voted for John McCain, and I had a bunch of talking points about John McCain and Sarah Palin and stuff. And I still believe that John McCain could have been president, and I wish he could have been president still. But I've come to realize that Obama wasn't so bad.
What brings you to that one?
Well, honestly, in comparison to Trump, like I can't get behind Trump.
Why not? He's actually doing what he campaigned on. Obama did, but most everything that Obama did was not according to the Constitution. So I don't understand.
Well, something that I heard about Obama on his the turning point for me for Obama was when I heard him on Mark Maron's podcast. Obama said that he believes in in the American way, in small incremental change. There's no way that he could have ever accomplished the things that he wanted to, because that's the way that the government runs. And I think that's probably for the best, you know. But I do think that the things that Obama was going for really were okay. I mean, I don't know.
Well,
I think,
I pretty much have to disagree with you, because he went and told the American people that he couldn't do certain things, and they turned right around and did them anyway. To me, that was, you know, he told the American people that he was not king. He was not a monarch. He couldn't do make law without Congress, yet he turned right around and did DACA, which turns out to be a law, but he went around Congress and didn't use them. So that was an illegal thing. Now they're doing all kinds of dancing around trying to figure out a way to get rid of it, but they're not, because they, to me, the problem with government is once they put a law in there, it's next to impossible to get rid of it, even if it's illegal.
Well, the thing about DACA that you're saying is, if it is illegal, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a politician. I'm not a lawyer. If it was illegal, there are two things that could have happened. Let's say that it is illegal. So the Republicans who are in Congress either didn't care that it was illegal, or it actually was legal and there was nothing that they could do about it. When they talk about impeachment for Obama, there are two outcomes. Either they could have impeached him because he did something illegal, or they don't want to impeach him. So I don't believe that it was illegal.
Well,
I
studied that, and it was, actually, because a president cannot push through a law without Congress, and he did that with DACA.
Well, then why didn't they do anything about it?
That is the one sticky point that I don't understand myself. 99% of them that are in there now have campaigned to follow the Constitution and do the things that they're supposed to, but they're not. And right. I think most of them are just getting corrupted, just like everybody else did. They get the big money and they get the big bucks and they get the big microphones, and they can say whatever they damn well please without having to worry about anybody coming down on them. And they get this idea that, well, I got away with that, so I can get away with this too. I really do think that that old saying that absolute power corrupts absolutely, and I think most of them have absolute power. I really do.
Yeah. All right.
And then that's the one reason why I think that Donald Trump was elected in the first place, because everybody was saying that we needed to have a politician in there, and the people were saying, no, we've had enough of politicians, and we elected somebody who wasn't. And now they're trying to get rid of him because he isn't. And they say he doesn't understand. Well, I think he understands a lot better than a lot of people do. And problem is he's being fought against it all the way down the pike.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that when it comes to stuff like the wall, I mean, I think the majority of Americans see it as a joke. You know,
I think it all depends on where you look, because the majority of almost everybody that I've ever talked to think that this not building the wall is a joke.
I agree. I think that I've always been of the opinion that the border needs to be secured first before we can really do anything.
Exactly.
But nobody's ever wanted to do that. But the problem is, I don't think that just building a wall is really going to secure the border. You know, the political climate there in Mexico is terrible. And until they fix themselves, there's nothing that we can do that will that will ever secure that border, in my opinion.
Well, one of the things that we have to look at, though, and it's what I was talking about when I noticed that you had called in, if somebody from the United States crosses over into Mexico illegally, they get thrown in jail, period. They have people out there that have no restrictions on what they can do to people coming across the border. They have no restrictions on what they can do to the people. And it's like that soldier, that Tamarusi, who accidentally crossed over into Mexico, he was in jail for a year over that. And then we have illegals who have come over here and they're marching in our streets demanding rights that they have no right to have. Because
there's a big difference there, you know. There are people who have been here for generations, some kids who were brought over here as toddlers, you know, they've never known Mexico, you know. On the other hand, if me, a white dude, were to go over to Mexico, I'd stick out like a sore thumb. If another Mexican person comes over here, they just blend in. You know, I can cross over the border and I'll get hassled by the police because they're, you know, because they want money from me. If a Mexican person comes over here, there's no way to tell whether they're illegal or legitimate.
Well, I did a lot of my growing up in New Mexico. Down there, I'm not exactly sure what the hell happened to New Mexico, because they're not a conservative state. But most of the people there realize that if we don't fix something out there to keep people from coming in, this is going to continue, and this country is going to continue to backslide. And that's essentially what this country is doing right now, is it's backsliding, because we have all these people in here who have decided, well, I've been here for generations. It doesn't matter that I came in illegally, and my first act in this country was illegal. What matters is now. No, I think what matters is that these people need to get things straight. If they came here illegally and they've been here for a long time, they need to go through the right channels and get things fixed, if not for them, for their kids.
Yeah, no, I think I can agree with that. I've always been of the opinion that if we secured the border, if we could secure the border and finish it, even if we said, you know, okay, whoever's here is now an American citizen, I'd be fine with that. I think that it would be a huge improvement just to seal off the border. But I don't think that's going to happen until Mexico gets their act together.
Well, I think one of the things that they can do, and this is something that with the technology that we have now, we don't even have to build a wall. Just put sensors out there. We would know. You know, and that would be every bit as good as a wall. We don't need to build that wall. Just put sensors out there. And there's already a bunch of places out there where they've got sensors and cameras. And I used to belong to a site. And actually still belong to it, but I've got two computers right now that are not working. And the thing for this site is on one of those computers. So I can't do this anymore, but I used to be able to just sit here, and I live in Indiana right now, but I used to be able to sit here in my studio on my computer and watch those cameras at nighttime. And if there was something going on, I could report it from here in Indiana. And and it was actually pretty cool. And a lot of people were part of that. And I think they still are. But, you know, it's like I said, I can't get in there anymore because I don't remember the site. I'm not sure the name of it or anything else. But it was something that was really neat. And I enjoyed doing it because it was something I was doing for America.
Yeah. I understand that. But I think that... a little excessive. You know what I mean? Like, regular citizens having to patrol the border. It's kind of crazy to me.
I don't know. The way I look at it is, if the government isn't going to do it, then, you know, something has to be done. And the problem with that is that we've got, like with our government, everything is pretty much back-assward with the way they do things. You know, when the Democrats are in power, they are in power, and they have no qualms about telling us. You know, it's like when John McCain lost, and I'm not sure if too many people remember this. I've mentioned this several times, but he went up to Obama and says, "I'm glad this is over. Now we can work together and get this straightened out." And Obama told John McCain, "No, I won. You lost. We're doing it my way." But if the Republicans do the same thing to the Democrats, then they raise all kinds of hell and say, "No, that's not the Democratic way." Well, the problem is, we're not a democracy.
Yeah. I've always kind of felt that with the way that our government works, you know, there are nobody ever gets what they want, you know, whether it's the right or the left, nobody gets what they want. You know, they attach all kinds of crap to all these bills that get passed, and they're nothing like what they would have been in the beginning. So nobody ever actually gets what they want. We all just get some kind of crap compromise that we all have to live with and try to make work.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's one of the things I remember. I studied American history, and I remember learning that when our government first started, a bill, when it came out, was probably maybe a page long, two pages at the most, didn't have very much of anything in it except for what the thing was supposed to be for. And on top of that, if the government spent any money to do anything, they had to get that paid off before they could make another spending thing, which I thought was the way to go. We're not doing that now. I mean, you know, one of our problems now is we're trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in debt, and they keep telling us, "Oh, we're cutting back on spending and we're not going to spend so much this year." Well, the problem with the way they do things is, yeah, they're going to continue to spend. They're just saying, "We're not spending as much over 10 years." How's that going to help us today?
Yeah, I understand. You know, during this last election, I couldn't vote for Trump, but I couldn't vote for Hillary either. You know, I went third party for the first time and kind of felt like I didn't vote at all because I did that.
Well, you know, at least you voted. You know, a lot of people, if they say, "Well, I don't want to vote for Trump and I won't vote for Hillary, I'll just stay home."
Yeah, I think that's kind of a cop-out.
So if you voted, God bless you for that, because that's the way I look at it. If you don't vote, you don't have any right to complain about what we got. So
at least I could vote in my, you know, my local stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Local elections, too, because that's really what's going to make a difference in my pocketbook, you know?
That's for sure.
But,
and I think
I
most
know.
Of us.
I hope things get better for my kid, you know.
Oh, God, me too.
I've
got two right now. One's in, actually from this marriage, I've got two right now. One's in high school, and the other one just went to college down in Texas, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up down in the Southwest. I love it down there. It's a wonderful part of the country. But how I ended up here, I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Yeah. Well, I love it down here. I don't think I could live anywhere else. So.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
I've got a brother who lives down in Texas, and now I've got my oldest stepdaughter. She's down in Texas at Texas Tech in Lubbock.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she's pretty happy down there, and all I can feel is just complete jealousy for her being there and me not.
Yeah.
Because I love it down there.
Yeah, well, Texas is certainly where it's at. There's a lot of Californians moving here. Which is kind of weird, but, you know, whatever. I've always, I don't know, I always conservative until I moved here to Austin. You know, there's a lot of difference of opinion here, and I feel like kind of the area that I live in has changed me. So.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you calling in. Gosh, dang. Now make me wish I was down in Texas even more, I guess. But
you just have to visit them.
I'm working on it, but it's probably going to be a while before I can ever get out of this place. So.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about Lubbock, though. You may want to stay away from there. It kind of sucks there.
Oh, I don't know. I kind of liked it because it was closer to I used to live down in Hobbs, New Mexico, which is just on the east, on the western side of the border. I think you could actually. And one of the things I used to love about being out there was that in the morning when the sun came up, it was right at eye level. You could see that it was so flat out there. You could see the curve of the earth. And I always thought that was just awesome. Mm-hmm. But I've always liked the desert.
Well, now,
Southwest.
You come into West Texas, all you see are windmills now.
Yeah. I noticed that. There's sure a bunch of them out there. That's for sure.
Yeah. Just a ton of windmills and desert. That's it. So, well, it's been nice talking to you, man.
Nice talking to you too, and thanks for calling in.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thank you.
Okay, bye. That was actually a very nice phone call. I'm really glad he called in. He was from Texas. I love that state, but I was looking through some stuff the other day, and my second hour just started, so I might just stop for the moment and start my second hour spiel. So I'll just start with the advertisements right now, and I'll get back with you in a few minutes. Just be right back.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool.
Oh.
And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Okay. I just wanted to announce to everyone that I just finally got the chat room open. I didn't have it open before. Couldn't get it open before. But just to let you all know.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Welcome back to the Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group. That's right, a group known especially for their couch snuggling, ball chasing, face licking, tail wagging, backyard hanging, and of course, companionship. And what breed would you say Satchmo is? I'd have to go with maybe a lavish terrier hound chihuahua looking kind of mix. Tremendous dog. I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle. Simply marvelous. You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with his person. That's actually known as the treat stare. How intuitive. And now he appears to be excited and turning in circles. Ah, the happy dance so common with this group. And finally, the loving face lick. It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks. Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one. Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
One of the things that I noticed about that phone call I got, the guy said that he had changed. He was a conservative most of his life, and he's not anymore, that Texas changed him. But one of the things that I had noticed, definitely did not become a liberal, because if he had, I would not have had a good talk with him. He was very understanding, very he had a good head on his shoulders. He had his ideas. He listened to mine. I listened to his. That's where political discourse comes from. You know, I don't really consider myself completely a Republican anymore, because the Republican Party has pretty much left me, but I am a conservative, and I'm a constitutional conservative, something that I have always been proud of, because I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the way this country was founded. But I also believe that, you know, you can't be for one thing in this country and just totally blot out everything else that anybody will say if they don't believe in what, if they, you say something that they don't believe in. And that's one of the things that made that conversation so pleasant, was the man had a good head on his shoulders. And I'm really glad he called. From Political Pistachio, a blog of a friend of mine who has a radio show in California, and it's a conservative radio show. He is a constitutional scholar. He knows what he's talking about. He wrote an article late this last week about St. Louis, and he wrote, St. Louis, Missouri spent the evening in chaos, mob violence. They called the gatherings a protest. But protests are normally peaceful assemblies, not looting, fighting, broken windows, and setting of fires. The reason for the upheaval was because a white police officer, Jason Stockley, was found not guilty of murdering a black suspect he had shot while serving on duty. The suspect, Anthony Lamar Smith, way back in December of 2011, was unwilling to comply with the commands of the police as they approached him, used his vehicle to slam it into the police cruiser, fled in a high-speed chase that reached speeds of up to 87 miles per hour, appeared to be pulling out a firearm at the end of the chase, and it was on, and was on parole for gun and drug charges. So the police officer, fearing for his life, fired upon the suspect in self-defense, killing him. Now, protesters say that Stockley shot and killed Smith in cold blood because the suspect was black. Fox News' Will Carr, during the Friday night protest, asked one person that if the fleeing suspect had been white, would he have been shot? And the protester responded, no, they would have taken him alive. Shockley waved his hand to the jury, to a trial by jury. And St. Louis Circuit Judge Timothy Wilson found him not guilty of first-degree murder and armed criminal action in December of 2011, shooting death of Anthony Lamar Smith. The court, as the trier of fact, is simply not firmly convinced of the defendant's guilt. Agonizingly, this court has pored over the evidence again and again. This court, in conscience, cannot say that the state has proven every element of murder beyond a reasonable doubt or that the defendant did not act in self-defense. Protesters took to the streets, blocking police from approaching, damaging a police car by smashing its windshield as they climbed all over the vehicle, breaking windows of and throwing paint on the house of the city's mayor. Police used pepper spray to clear the roadway and to attempt to quell the protests that rapidly progressed from peaceful to violent. Prosecutors said Stockley carried out the premeditated murder of Smith by shooting him five times at close range and then planting a .38 caliber revolver in Smith's Buick after police pulled Smith's body from the car. They asserted a kill shot was fired at close range after first four shots were fired in close succession and struck Smith in the shoulder. Defense attorneys said Stockley acted reasonably in self-defense in killing the drug suspect he believed was reaching for a hidden handgun. As for the argument that Stockley planted a gun in Smith's car, prosecutors argued the presence of Stockley's DNA on the revolver in Smith's car and the absence of Smith's DNA on it proved it was planted. Two DNA analysts testified that the absence of someone's DNA on a gun doesn't mean that person did not touch it. Finally, the court observes, based on its nearly 30 years on the bench, that an urban heroin dealer not in possession of a firearm would be an anomaly. Smith's wounds also worked in favor of Stockley's case. The state could not explain how Smith could have been shot in the left lower abdomen by a person standing outside the car if Smith was simply sitting in the driver's seat. Pathologists testified at the trial that the wounds in Smith's left flank could indicate that Smith was reaching for something with his right hand at the time the wounds occurred, which would be consistent with Stockley's testimony. While the St. Louis protesters and groups like Black Lives Matter proclaim that racism is out of control and racist white police officers are targeting black people and are killing blacks as a result of their racism, black radio host Larry Elder says otherwise. 965 people were shot by cops last year and killed. 4% of them were white cops shooting unarmed blacks. In Chicago in 2011, 20 people were shot and killed by cops. In 2015, there were 7. In Chicago, which is a third black, a third white, and a third Hispanic, 70% of the homicides are black on black, about 40 per month, almost 50 per year. And last year in Chicago, and 75% of them are unsolved, he said. Where is Black Lives Matter on that? The idea that a racist white cop shooting unarmed black people is a peril to black people is BS, said Elder. It's complete and total BS. And the reason for these so-called activists saying this is the assumption that racism remains a major problem in America and that and the media, CNN and especially MSNBC, run down whenever a black cop shoots somebody and it's then some march in Washington, it's ridiculous. Half the homicides in this country are committed by and against black people, said Elder. Last year, there were 14,000 homicides, not talking about suicides. I'm talking about homicides. Half of them were black and 96% were black on black. Of that 7,000, where's the Black Lives Matter on that? Elder says the real problem is not racism, but that a large portion of black families are fatherless. The breakdown of the family, fatherless families, is the number one problem in America, not racism, nor discrimination or bad cops. He added that when it comes to murder, nearly half of the homicides each year are black-on-black killings. There is a liberal agenda at work, and the goal is to tell black people that we're victims, that discrimination, racism remain major problems in America when in fact they don't, and they want black people to vote for the Democratic Party. That it would take only 40 years after his marches before the United States elected its first black president. It took 44 years, a date marked when Barack Obama was inaugurated to serve as the president of the United States. Unfortunately, according to Elder, Obama's elections made matters worse. In 2007, then-Senator Obama, speaking at a historically black church in Alabama on the 42nd anniversary of the Selma March, talked about our country's great progress in race relations. America, according to Obama, is 90% of the way there, Obama said. I'm here because somebody marched for our freedom. I'm here because y'all sacrificed for me. I stand on the shoulders of giants. I thank the Moses generation. But we have got to remember now that Joshua still had a job to do. The previous generation, the Moses generation, pointed the way. They took us 90% of the way there. But we, the Joshua generation, still have that 10% in order to cross over the other side. Now that this 90% occurred before Obama's election and re-election. So presumably we carved into the remaining 10%. But oh, what a difference a few years makes. Two things occurred. First, the election of a black person did not bring about the expected hope and change. In fact, the percentage of blacks living in poverty increased under Obama. Shortly before Obama's election, a supporter at a campaign rally named Peggy Joseph famously gushed about what an Obama victory would mean. I wouldn't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I wouldn't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he'll help me. Well, guess what? Barbara Bush was right when she said, your success as a family, our success as a society, depends not on what happens at the White House, but on what happens inside your house. In 1992, the Department of Justice's Bureau of Justice Statistics examined the 75 most populous counties. Turned out the jury is less likely to convict a black defendant of a felony than a white defendant. The study found that in 12 of 14 types of crimes, felonies, including murder, rape, and other serious crimes for which data was collected, the conviction rate for blacks is lower than that of whites. Similarly, in 2013, the National Institute of Justice, the research and evaluation agency of the DOJ to whether the police, as a result of racial bias, stop blacks more than other drivers. The conclusion? Any racial disparity in traffic stops is due to differences in offending, in addition to differences in exposure to the police and differences in driving patterns. My uncle Eddie, a barber in Chattanooga, Tennessee, immersed himself in local Republican politics. He died 20 years before Obama got elected. He would have been stunned that the country of segregation in which he was born could evolve so that his nephew would see the election of a black president. But he would likely have been even more astonished at how quickly Martin Luther King's dream of a colorblind society has turned into a quest to purge the town square of Confederate statues. He would have been shocked that a group called Black Lives Matter, given credibility by the Obama administration, issued a list of demands of white people. In 8 years, we've gone from the election of the first black president to a call for campuses safe places to combat alleged racist microaggressions. Uncle Eddie would have called this moving the goalpost. The problem isn't white Republican racism. It's leftist Democrat encouraged Marxist manipulation of our society. The sudden rise of racism in America is not by accident. Marxist-funded groups like Black Lives Matter and La Raza know exactly what they are doing. It is a case of the Hegelian dialectic and the general will working hand in hand. The history of racism is, first of all, the story of the Democrat Party. They are the party of slavery, the KKK, Jim Crow laws, and the unwillingness to cooperate with civil rights movement in the passing of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. Therefore, what we are seeing is a massive case of projection. The liberal left Democrats are trying to erase their fingerprints from the history racism in America, be it by projecting the claim of racism upon their opposition or by the toppling of statues and symbolism they believe betrays their true racist history. The deeper problem is that members of the liberal left are not comfortable with American system of liberty. It is their goal to dismantle what the framers of the Constitution established and replace it with an authoritarian system based on socialist philosophy and political control, and to establish themselves as the ruling elite, and to silence and eliminate any opposition, a strategy needs to be followed. In the case of the new rise of racism, it's a simple case of taking advantage of something called the Hegelian dialect, which is a Marxist tactic that is used to create a problem, create an opposition to the problem, and then establish a governmental solution. George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel was a German philosopher and a major figure in German idealism. George Hegel was born on August 27th of 1770 in Stuttgart, Germany, and died on November 14th of 1831 in Berlin, Germany. Hegel was a man who Karl Marx idolized. Hegel established the recipe for revolution, and the Democrat Party leftists are following it to a T. Mark Charlottesville and St. Louis are simply manifestations of the overall revolution being created by the liberal left Marxist in America, taking advantage of Hegel's teachings, which is create a problem, racism, whether it really exists or not, make it look like an out-of-control epidemic, create an opposition, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, etc., create a solution, increase of government control as a result of racial division, chaos, and class warfare so as to establish and encourage radical revolution. The goal is to establish a Marxist-based authoritarian communist rule. As for the black population in America, it seems like the 95% that votes Democrat has fallen for the lies being thrown in their direction. They have fallen for the Marxist strategy to overthrow the U.S. Constitution, hook, line, and sinker. Marxism is alive and well in groups like Black Lives Matter. They claim to support the alleged struggles of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer communities. They say they are dedicated to take down white supremacy and demand reparations for a centuries-long condition of white privilege. They say theirs is a new struggle that must be resolved. The Bolsheviks, who instigated the bloody Russian Revolution that changed the large Euro-Asian country into a communist union of Soviet socialist republics during the dawn of the last century, also supported immigrants, minorities, and homosexuals before the revolution began. Once the Soviet Union was established, however, all members of those groups were targeted for termination and slaughtered without mercy or remorse. In short, Black Lives Matter and all of the foolish folks willing to follow the group's deceptive message are simply pawns. The protesters in St. Louis or other Black Lives Matter marches of civil disobedience are simply tools being used to feed the power of leftism to provide a pathway to power for Marxists in America's system of government. And the pawns holding their fists up will now be discarded once the Marxists finished gaining power. Likely executed once the leftists reach their communist dream in America. To the communists, the leftist authoritarian movement residing in the shadows of America's political discourse, Black Lives doesn't matter. And that came from Political Pistachio, written by Douglas V. Gibbs. And he is one of the people that I talk about a lot. One of the people that I would love to have on this show again. He has been on this show several times. He's actually hosted this show a couple of times for me when I haven't been able to be here. And that is something that I would like to have here again one of these days. But I will be back after these messages.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Okay. Trying to find what I need to put in here now. There we go.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him in the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah. We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ag Council.
If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TradAM as we call our home. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com, all one word, .com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. And I hope to see you there soon. TradAM is a liberal free website. Okay, President Trump made it very clear in his UN speech what would happen if North Korea dared threaten the U.S. or its allies. And that didn't seem to matter to Kim Jong-un. He went ahead and did it anyway. Rather than acknowledge the severity of the threat and back down, Kim Jong-un made threats of his own, according to the Mirror. Kim stated that Trump was mentally deranged and his words would be considered a declaration of war. I don't know. I've been watching Kim Jong-un. I've been watching what's been going on. And if anybody's mentally deranged, I seriously doubt if it's Trump. But in addition to declaring the U.S.'s intention to put its own interests first, criticizing the Iran deal and bashing the Paris Climate Accord, Trump also gave a stern warning to North Korea, NBC reports, calling the North Korean dictator Rocket Man, which is, I think most of us traditional Americans got a kick out of that one. I know I did. Trump said Kim was on a suicide mission if he attacked the U.S. or its allies. The United States has great strength and patience, but if it is forced to defend itself or its allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea. Now, when it comes to that line, that one just one of the things that I just get such a kick out of is the fact that all the Democrats are going just absolutely bonkers when it comes to what Trump said. They're saying that the president can't say things like that. And he, but they're, not looking at a, at the historical context of it. Before World War II, one of the things that our president back then stated was that if Japan keeps doing the things that they are doing, it's either Japan or Germany, one of the two, that we were going to destroy them. And when the president then said that, we didn't have a bunch of panty-waist liberals on the Democrat side come out and say, oh my God, he's going to destroy us by saying things like that. He can't do that. No, they followed him. The one thing that really bothers me in this country today is that we finally get somebody who is actually doing what he said he was going to do, and everybody in our government is backing up and saying, no, wait, 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 we can't do that. It'll make everybody hate us. I'm thinking right now that a lot of people who used to not hate us do because of what Obama did and because they were being allowed to do things to us that they shouldn't be allowed to do. And now they're starting to dislike us because we've got a president who's actually got a backbone now. The big problem with that is we've got a president with a backbone. We've got a couple of representatives out there who have backbones, you know, the ones who are constitutional conservatives. But then we have people like John McCain, who I think lost his backbone sometime a long time ago. I'm not sure if he even knows how to stand up straight anymore. Or we've got Lindsey Graham, who will speak a strong game and then turn right around and go the other direction. Or we have Nancy Pelosi, who wouldn't know the right thing if it slapped her upside the face and told her it was the right thing. But that's what we are facing now. And we are facing this because we have got so many people out there right now who are breaking the laws, and they're being allowed to do it. And I've talked a lot about this during the course of this show. Black Lives Matter. They go out there and they protest, okay? They call it a protest, but it's nothing more than a demonstration, a violent demonstration, because what they always do is they'll block traffic with hoods over their faces so nobody can see who they are, the cowards. And they'll stop traffic, they break windows, they burn stores, they loot, they do everything. And I'm here to tell you folks, that's all illegal. You should be in freaking jail behind bars, holding onto those bars, looking out. This is not the way to get things done in this country. And no matter what you guys think, the Constitution gives you the right to protest. But when you become violent, that is where the constitutional rights that you had as a protester end. And as a protester, if you decide that you're going to constantly go and do the things that you're doing and continue to break that law or continue to break those laws, sooner or later, you're going to run into some law enforcement agency that still has the backbone that it needs to have, and you'll end up in prison. And it would be awesome to be there the day that happens so I can say, see, I told you so. If you're going to hide your faces, from the public when you're doing something like that, then deep in your mind, you know, that little bitty thing that you've got in your head that you're not using anymore, been there, is going to be something telling you, I'm only doing this covering my face because I know what I'm doing is wrong. And folks, if what they're doing is wrong and we're allowing it, then what we're doing is wrong too. The laws were put here for a reason. This nation is supposed to be a nation of laws. This nation is supposed to have laws that keep the citizens safe. But right now, thanks to what happened during the Obama administration, those laws are keeping nobody safe except the illegal aliens who are running around this country now, demanding that we give them rights, that they have rights that they do not have. I was born in America. My dad was born in America. His mom and dad, on the other hand, were not. They were born in Finland. But they came over legally. They went through the system. They did it legally. They became American citizens, not by breaking American law, but by following American law and going through the correct way to do it. And my idea on this whole thing is if you break the laws to come into this country, you are nothing but a criminal and you deserve nothing less than what the law should give you. And that's exactly what it is. That is exactly what it is. And one of the things that I've been trying to do with this show is get myself a following. And, you know, my problem has been is that there's been things that have happened and things that have come along that have pushed me out of my way of doing things here. But now that I'm finally getting myself to the mix, and I'm starting to get some people who are listening again. And I've tried to get people to contact me through my email. Haven't had anybody do that yet. But this show is not going to disappear. Excuse me. This show is going to continue. And the reason why shows like this and shows under the HOV network on here on Blog Talk Radio will continue is because the people need to be told what is really the way to go. We can't forget. It's like I've always been saying, you cannot forget what happened in Nazi Germany, because if you do, you're bound to have it be repeated on you. And the thing that's really happening right now is we've gotten this part in this country right now where we have people tearing down Confederate statues because they say it's racism when it's not. All they are doing is working the liberal, leftist, socialist, communistic ideals that we need to forget the bad parts of America so they will go away. And it's like COG in my chat room said, it hurts my heart this country has dropped to this low. And it does. It breaks my heart. I know it would break my father's heart, too. I don't think there was too many people around that were as proud of this country as my dad was. I'm glad he's not around to see what's going on now. But this country has got to stop. Look and listen to what is going on. Black Lives Matter is a criminal group. It may have started with great ideals, but it's turned into a criminal group that wants nothing but the extermination of whites in this country. They want the whites in this country who have never owned a slave in their lives, and people like me who's never had a family member who's ever owned slaves. They want me to pay reparations for somebody who was held a slave hundreds of years ago. Now, here's the problem, folks. Everybody talks about how America was so bad because slavery was here. I did a show probably 5 weeks ago now where I described what really happened during that time. Slavery took over here for a little while, but it didn't all over the United States. Happened only in the South. And most people down there never owned slaves. Never owned slaves. A good portion of the people down there were against slavery, and they worked against slavery. Because of America, slavery is illegal all over now. So these Confederate symbols that everybody is now saying we have to tear down because it means racism and slavery and all this stuff, no, it doesn't. It shows America the struggle that we went through to get rid of that damning institution. You want to repeat that institution of slavery? Keep this bull crap up, because if you do, we're going to repeat it, because we are going to forget the lessons we learned. And I don't know of anyone who has a sane mind who wants to repeat any of that. But repeat it we will if we continue down this road to forgetting. Period. I don't know, folks. This whole idea that we have to tear down things that remind us of anything is stupid at best. And I will be right back after these messages for the last part of the show.
Hey, sweetie. What's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay, what?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council. Been looking for an online gathering place, you know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people. Like you, sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TradAM, as we call our home. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and to be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement, all one word, .com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement.com, and I hope to see you there soon. TradAm is a liberal free website.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
I played that ad for TradAm a second time. The reason why I did that is because that it was a great site at one point in time until a friend of mine, Fred, died, and then everything just started to go away at that point in time. But I'm in the process of trying to get that back. It's a great site. So if you guys want to go there, it's, like I said, at www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. One of the things that that I wanted to bring up, and it was brought up in the chat room too, is that the first slave owner in America was not a white person. It was a black man, Anthony Johnson. And he came over as an indentured servant. But you know, it's something that, you know, most people don't think about. And it's something that people need to know. We are letting ourselves be led the wrong direction by people who do not know what they're talking about, and it's gonna hurt this nation, and it's gonna hurt this nation in a bad way if we don't stop it. And stop it we must. And, you know, because we're getting to things like, you know, where you're seeing headlines now from Red Flag News. One of the ones that just showed up a little while ago was a disturbing video shows brutal assault on elderly teacher by middle school teachers. Now, by middle school students. Now, here's the problem with this, folks. When I was in middle school, the idea that I could do something like this never crossed my mind. I was a kid. I went to school to learn. I went to school every day because I had to. I had no political leanings. I had no ideals in my life except to be a kid. Now kids are assaulting their teachers for crying outside here. And I see something like that, and what COG said in my chat room, you know, that hurts my heart. This country has dropped low. Then we see things like this, and we see that we haven't dropped low enough. Because this kind of stuff keeps continuing, we're going to continue to drop. And facts don't matter. You try to bring up facts. You try to bring up truths about what is really going on. And you've got a whole segment of our population now saying, oh, you're a racist because you told the truth. No, they don't say it that way. Now, don't get me wrong here. They don't say it that way, but that's exactly what they're saying. They're saying, oh, you're racist because you're against this. I truthfully don't think I've got a racist bone in my body. And if I do, I try to make sure it's not there in the public to be seen. But this whole idea that before Obama became president, that we were more racist then than we are now. No, we're not. Back then, I could have black friends and walk through Indianapolis and not have to worry about anything. I could have white friends and walk through Indianapolis and not have to worry about anything. Now, not so much. Now, I can walk into Indianapolis or a bigger city and get my rear end beaten to next week because I'm white. And if I happen to walk into a big city with a black person, that black person's likely to get themselves hurt because they're with me. Now, where in the world that's truthful here, where in the world is this saying racism is gone? No, we elected a black president and he brought it back. He may have said some good things at the beginning, but that's not where his policies lie. And all of this stuff that's coming down now, where people are tearing down statues that are there because of the Civil War, stopping to think that the reason they're there is to keep us cognizant of what we went through. And it's getting to the point now where they're tearing down statues just because they may have something to do with someone from the Civil War times. Doesn't have to be somebody who was a slave owner. Doesn't have to be anybody who was racist. Doesn't have to be anything. Just somebody on a horse. Somebody from Black Lives Matter or from Antifa or somewhere along the line will come along and say, oh, that man's on a horse. He must be racist. We got to get rid of that statue. And one of the funniest things that I've seen lately is somebody on Facebook posted one of a woman crying, and somebody asked her, what's wrong with you? Oh, there's another statue. Ah. We have all these idiots running through our streets demanding all of this stuff that has only taken us backwards when it comes to race relations. Some of my best friends throughout my life have been black. If somebody came up to them and were causing trouble with them, I'd be right there to jump in the fray to help them, just as they would be right there to jump in the fray to help me if the situation was backed around. But the way America is today, that's racist. You can't do that. You can't help somebody like that. Especially from Black Lives Matter. If a black person helps a white person, that's racist. Shouldn't be done, shouldn't happen, shouldn't ever be even thought about. What the people need to realize here is that Black Lives Matter is nothing more than a racist terrorist group who wants nothing for this nation except what they want, and that is to get rid of all whites or anyone who doesn't agree with them. And that is the same with the Democrat Party and the parts of the Republican Party that want to just stay in power for whatever reasons that they want to stay in power for, so that they can keep going the same way as they've always gone. All of these factions have to go. And I'm certainly glad that everybody, there were several people that came in here today. I'm certainly glad that COG was here. I'm glad that I got that phone call from that guy in Austin, Texas. That was an awesome phone call. But my time is over, folks. And the night is done. Tomorrow's another day. And we have to start thinking of it that way. Tomorrow's going to be another day. And if we continue to think in the lines of Black Lives Matter and in the lines of racism, this nation's going to continue to go down the tubes, and there is nothing that we are going to be able to do about it, because that is just the way it is. We have to continue trying to be the best for America, or America will never be the best again. This is Robert the Infidel Garding with this edition of the NWCR's show. I will be back next week. Hopefully next week I don't lose track of time like I did today. But I will be back next week. Thank you all for listening. God bless you, and God bless America. And I will see you all next week. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. As soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Here Uncle Sam put your name at the top of his list, and a statue of liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. All brought to you courtesy of this big dog will fight when you rattle his cage. And you'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. 'Cause we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And a statue of liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly. It's raining down on you. I'm brought to you courtesy of the red, white. God bless you all.